A slew of whistleblower complaints from the Veterans Affairs Department has made this anything but a normal year for the Office of Special Counsel. VA's troubles have raised the profile of the small agency that protects federal employees from prohibited personnel practices. Its leader, Carolyn Lerner, gives Federal News Radio's Tom Temmant the highlights of the agency's new annual report to Congress.
In 2015, we received over 6,200 new cases. 5 years ago, it was just over 3,000. So our caseload has basically doubled in 5 years.
And for the last year of the 6,200, were half of those from VA, or what are the trends of VA versus everybody else?
Not quite half, but close. Between 35 and 40% of our new cases last year were from the VA.
And when I looked at the figures, it appeared to me, and you can correct me or tell us how this does work, that a great many of the incoming cases actually never make it to a decision by the Office of Special Counsel because there's some reason that they don't qualify. And so a lot of it, you don't have to, the Office of Special Counsel, the counselors, don't look at all 6,200 and try to decide them.
Well, yes and no. All of our complaints are reviewed. All of the prohibited personnel practice complaints, which include retaliation for blowing the whistle, go through our complaints examining unit. Our examiners look at every complaint and determine whether we have jurisdiction. Now, sometimes we get complaints where we don't have jurisdiction. For example, if someone files a complaint that has nothing to do with the federal government or they're not a federal employee themselves, clearly we don't have jurisdiction in those cases. Every case is looked at. If we have a jurisdiction, we assess whether or not the complainant has established the basic elements of the violation they're alleging. We talk with the complainant. We look at their evidence, talk to witnesses, and that's basically our, you know, review process. If our examiners believe that the elements of a case have been met, we then either refer it for mediation or for investigation and prosecution.
And so how many of those cases of the 6,000 or so actually make it out into that second level of looking into?
Well, of the cases that aren't resolved at that first level, and sometimes we are able to get good resolutions for people during that initial review phase, but a little under 10% of the cases that come in that are prohibited personnel practices go on either to mediation or for investigation and prosecution. And the numbers on the disclosure side are approximately the same. A little under 10% of disclosures are referred for investigation.
So that still gives you 600-700 cases that have to be gone into much more deeply and in much more detail every year.
That's right.
All right. And I wanted to ask you about alternative dispute resolution. That's something that OSC has been putting more emphasis on. How does that work relative to the standard process?
Well, mediation is a great alternative to litigation. It provides a way for employees and agencies to solve their disputes. And, you know, in many cases, it can also heal relationships, something that a long investigation and prosecution will rarely do. Mediation often leads to quicker and better results for employees and agencies alike. Long investigations aren't good for anyone, and mediation allows for creative ways to solve problems. It also, frankly, helps our agency manage its growing caseload. We're getting great results. About 80% of the cases that go to mediation end up settling. So it's really a winning combination for everyone.
So short of having had people like toss grenades or threaten each other with weapons or something, probably most office types of disputes probably can go to alternative dispute resolution if both sides are willing to have the goodwill to do that.
That's right. I think many cases can be resolved through mediation. It is a voluntary process, so both sides have to agree, and it has to be an appropriate case for mediation. So if it's a matter that might require significant disciplinary action, that might not be a case that we would send to mediation.
We're speaking with Carolyn Lerner. She is the head of the Office of Special Counsel. And so besides VA, is there any other agencies around which complaints, incoming complaints, clustered in the past year?
Well, we do get more retaliation cases and disclosures from the VA than from any other department in the government. for comparison, we get more complaints from the VA as we do from the Department of Defense, which is twice as big as the VA. But after the VA, the Department of Defense is the second highest. We get the second highest number of complaints from Department of Defense. Following DOD is Department of Homeland Security.
Which is also a big department. So outside of VA, then the number of cases is roughly proportional to the agency size?
I think that's probably right.
All right, so let's talk about Veterans Affairs. I mean, there have been a lot of stories about Veterans Affairs, the hospital that is over budget and the whole issue with the respect to the health care that some veterans were getting and to the scheduling issues. Do you think that's what touched off this wave of complaints from VA, or how do you characterize them?
Well, I think there are a lot of possible reasons for the increasing number of complaints from the VA. Let me give you a few of the reasons. First of all, retaliation is a longstanding problem. I can't say that it's better or worse now than it was, 10 or 15 years ago. But there are many possible reasons for the surge in new filings. First is the nature of the work that people do with the VA. There are a lot of people working in healthcare facilities, doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers who care really deeply about the mission. Because of the type of work that they're doing, if they see people being mistreated or not getting the appropriate care, they feel an obligation to come forward. So it's an environment that's ripe for disclosures of wrongdoing. Second, I think employees really feel like they can make a difference now. The number one reason that whistleblowers don't come forward is that they don't believe it will make a difference. Why expend the time and energy and hope that goes into filing a complaint if you feel like it's going to fall on deaf ears? So if there's a silver lining to the increasing number of complaints that we're getting, it may be that people feel like they'll be heard and that their disclosures will be acted upon. As an agency, OSC really is getting results and working with the VA to make improvements. So I think a third reason for the increasing number is that awareness about OSC is increasing. We've been doing a lot more outreach and training in conjunction with the VA. We've been helping to do some training over there. And the number of whistleblowers getting relief at the Office of Special Counsel is at an all-time high. We've gotten over 100 corrective actions for VA employees. And if you compare that number to just 29 corrective actions for all of the federal government just 5 years ago, you can see that there's been an exponential growth in the amount of help we're getting for whistleblowers.
OSC has had level staffing now for several years, and you have stated that over the past 5 years, the caseload has been steadily rising. What are some of the techniques you've used to be able to have a level staff take on an increasing workload?
Well, ADR has been a part of it. We've been able to route more cases to alternative dispute resolution and get quicker, better results without having to do a full investigation, as I mentioned earlier. For the VA cases, we've developed a few different strategies. The first is we're triaging health and safety cases. So when someone makes a disclosure of a health and safety problem at the VA, we make that the number one priority and get that over to the VA for investigation. Second thing we've done is hired a full-time senior lawyer to just be in charge of kind of coordinating our response to retaliation cases that we get from the VA. And she works very closely with the VA in trying to resolve these cases quickly. A third thing we've done is, in conjunction with the VA, we have started an expedited settlement process. We needed to come up with a way to streamline the investigation and potential settlement of these cases. So we set up an expedited process with the VA's Office of General Counsel to handle claims of whistleblower retaliation that are especially strong and meritorious and that should not require a full investigation. We're able to get corrective action for whistleblowers very quickly through this process, or at least more quickly than a full investigation would lead to.